we offer a warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Following Christ is a growing experience. That's what I'd like to visit with you about in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you have called us into your kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for that redemption that is ours in Christ, and we thank you that living with him is a growing experience every day. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins and for the promise that we are yours forever. Now, Lord, we pray that we may permit the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us and to walk through this life as children bearing witness to that blessed Savior. Help us to understand that following Christ is a growing experience. This we ask in your holy name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians, beginning with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, I have a friend who is mentally retarded. If I should ask him and a group of people, "Tom, how much is 5 times 5? He would probably blush and say, "I don't know." And the crowd who might be there watching us would say, "How cruel can you get? You should never ask a young man with that mental condition such a question as that. You put him in a very embarrassing situation." Let me give you another example. As many of you know, my wife is physically handicapped due to a stroke that she suffered some years ago. She is unable to walk without some human assistance or her walker, and even then she moves very slowly. Sometimes when I'm assisting her into our house and it is bitter cold outside, I'll say, "Eunice, can you hurry just a little bit?" And then she looks up at me with those big blue eyes and says very graciously, "But Homer, I'm going as fast as I can." At that point, it's like a knife goes into my heart. And I realize how cruel and stupid I am. Will I ever learn that simple little lesson? You can't expect a person to do something she cannot possibly do. To expect the impossible from a person who is mentally or physically handicapped is wrong. But now today I'd like to ask the real question that comes from our text. What about the person who is spiritually handicapped? And we are continually saying to that individual, "Straighten up your life. Why don't you stop doing this? Why don't you begin doing that?" This person is born with a sinful nature. He or she has probably had little or no contact with Jesus throughout the entire life. They probably were born into a family that had no time for the church. Probably didn't even have a Bible in their home. Raised without any influence of Christ at all. And now we're turning around and we're saying to that person, "Straighten up. Change your life." Here we have one of the sharp conflicts between Christianity and humanism. Christianity teaches that humans are born with a sinful nature. It is known to us as the doctrine of original sin. Humanism, on the other hand, believes that we are born basically good and can control ourselves with the help of good education and perhaps some counseling. In other words, a human being can spiritually right that which is wrong within himself or herself. Christians do not believe that. George Farrell, in his great book, The Protestant Faith, takes issue with this humanistic teaching. And here Professor Farrell writes, "The human being is born in revolt against God. He does not have to be taught to sin. It is the pattern of human nature. This does not mean that we cannot live like ladies and gentlemen. It does not mean that we are beasts. It doesn't mean that our social life as well as our personal life is perverted by sin. It does mean that. It affects our relationship with our friends as well as with our enemies. Our revolt against God is noticeable in all areas of our lives. The law of God can be given to us and is given to us and is good and should be taken very seriously. But one thing the law does not have, and that is the power in and of itself to obey it. Give a person the Ten Commandments and say, 'Keep them,' If that person has no relationship with God, it doesn't make sense. Paul gives expression to this frustration of not being able to perform spiritually. He writes, you know, the good that I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I end up doing. Later on, he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? It's kind of like going back to my wife saying, I'd like to move faster, but I can't. Paul is saying, I'd like to live a better life, but I can't. But life goes on, and that's the way we live, with all of our imperfections, and sometimes rather unhappy about it all. More and more, people don't want to be around us. Your family avoids you. You seek this counsel that the humanist says you ought to have, but again, you appreciate the guidance, but you are helpless to do what the counselor tells you to do. Paul describes your life when he says that it is filled with impurity, hatred, jealousy, temper tantrums, envy, and occasionally immorality and drunkenness. In desperation, you accept a fellow worker's invitation one day when you come to the end of your ropes. And the fellow is saying to you, I know you're miserable. You've talked about it, and you don't like the way that you live. Why don't you come with me to church on Sunday morning? Well, it takes a long time before you accept that invitation, and finally you say, you know, I've tried everything else. It wouldn't hurt. I think I will come with you. So you go to that church. That church has one emphasis in the whole service. It is telling people about Jesus Christ. Christ is held up in the scriptures that are read. He is certainly held up in the music that is sung, both by the choir and by the people who are there. He is also there with us as far as the sermon is concerned. And so you listen that this Christ is supposedly able to really take care of you. Pretty soon, you hear the minister talk about how this happened, that on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died for the sins of the world, that God is a God of love, that God is one who is anxious to help us up and to take us along the way of life with him. You hear again and again that word, grace, and you wonder, what is the real meaning of that word, grace? And then you begin to understand, well, that's receiving from God that forgiveness which you really do not deserve. Wow, this is stuff that you had never heard of before in your life. And then finally, you're told that if you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior, you can. Well, you're not ready for that. But you leave the church, you avoid the coffee hour, say to your friend who invited you, thank you, but I think I have to be going on now. My family is waiting for me. You've learned that you can't fix up your own life. But there is one who can fix it up for you, and his name is Jesus Christ. Well, the next Sunday comes by, and you wonder, should I go back to church? And you don't. And another one goes by, and you don't. And finally, you go back one Sunday. And as you're going out the door to church, your family says to you, what have you got now, Dad? Some religion? You've tried everything else to right your life. It hurts, but you go on your way. And so you hear again that same message. Oh, it's said in different ways. But the consistency of that gospel that is preached Sunday after Sunday after Sunday in that church simply draws you back. Now, just imagine if the next Sunday that you had come, they had left the whole message of the gospel in order that you not become repetitious, and that they talk about some political or social matter that the preacher at least knows very little about, though sometimes he may feel that he's an authority in the matter. And maybe you would say, well, this isn't what I want. Now he's telling me to do this and do that, and I have no interest in that at the present time. But that isn't the case in that church. That church wants to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ every opportunity that it has. And finally, one Sunday, the family has stopped poking fun because they're beginning to see a difference in Dad's behavior. His wife says to him, "I'd like to go along with you." And they sit there and they listen. And as they're leaving the church, they say, "What do you say if we stop and go to the fellowship hour and drink a little coffee? We've got some friends in there." And so they do exactly that. Here they are, so well received. And you can see those people are filled with joy. They understand one another. They're concerned about one another. And they go home. Well, this happens again and again. And finally, one day, this husband and wife says, "You know, we maybe ought to get serious about this." So they arrange an appointment with a pastor. He outlines to them the way of salvation that they have heard from the pulpit so many times, but now it's eyeball to eyeball. And here, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they know God is present in that room, they're not doing it by themselves. They couldn't do it by themselves. They pray, "Lord Jesus, we've been in need of you for a long time. Thanks for coming into our lives through your word as it has been proclaimed and taught to us in this church. Please come into our lives." And that is the beginning of a whole new life. That is the beginning. You'd say, well, that's the end, isn't it? You join the church now, and now you can get on with this matter. No, it isn't. No. Christ lives within you, and there is not a law that is dictating to you and telling you, do this and do that. But there is a power within you, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit as he works through the Word of God. And that Word is changing you. You have a different attitude. You begin to sense love. Love because you have experienced the love that God Almighty can give to you. He first demonstrates it by loving you. And now you begin to love others. You want to love God. And if you love God, you have to love his people. Pretty soon there's a joy in your heart. You can't really explain how it happened to get there, but life is so different. There are so many good things that are happening. And there is a peace. There's a peace to know that I don't have to try to fix every last thing that comes along the way. But God, in his sovereignty, is in control. And then I notice that my relationship with people is different. I find myself being much more patient, because I'm always being reminded how patient God is with me. I love to be kind. I used to love to tell people off. Give them a piece of my mind and let them know how almighty I really was. No longer so kind. Forgiving to them. Goodness. Something about this goodness. I can't imagine myself doing what I'm doing. And then there's a whole new concept of faithfulness. Am I perfect? By no means. Do I slip and fall? Oh, sometimes I go right back into that old way of living. I am certainly not gentle. I don't practice self-control, and I begin to wonder, well, is there any hope? Here I go again. But this time there is a Spirit there. There is a Savior who is saying, come, come, I'll help you. And that's the way that life is being lived on, not in perfection. I can understand the theme of this sermon. You were created to be like Christ. That's what Rick Warren says in The Purpose-Driven Life. But that life that the Lord wants us to live is a lifelong experience. And it will not come to us, my friend. It will not come until we finally get to heaven. But what a joy it is to live with it and work at it and be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that while we're here. Now, you may say, well, this is a fancy story that you made up. And no, it isn't, friend. I've changed the names. But this is an actual story of a man who was very, very successful in his work, who had a family who didn't know what to think of him, and friends who could hardly stand him, and in desperation walked into the church one Sunday morning and said he needed help. Today that man is committed to the Lord Jesus. Perfect? By no means. For he realizes that this whole matter of following Christ is a growing spiritual experience. Believe me, it is happening to millions, and it can happen to you and to me. Follow him. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we know how difficult it is for us sometimes to give in. And so we can go on living a rather unpleasant life, wondering why in the world we're here. But Lord, we know that in the case of millions of people, you have come into those lives and you've made a real difference. True in the lives of so many of us. We were told again and again by the law, by the moralistic philosophy of our teachers or whoever it might have been, don't you see you've got to do this, or don't you see you've got to do that? And Lord, we were as helpless as could be. But then you came into our lives, and you forgave us and continue to forgive us our sins. And then you say, come walk with me. Lord in heaven. May we walk with you. Empower us with your Spirit, and use us in your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May our hearts continue to be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit radio ministry supported by gifts from our listeners. Many of you have become a broadcast sponsor, sending a gift of $100. This generous gift pays for 1 week's broadcast on the station you listen to. We thank our broadcast sponsors for helping us to buy radio time on 32 stations in 12 states across our nation. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to help you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 42 years.